Hello, and welcome to Holman Village. Today's date is Tuesday, August 5th, 2003. Today's session is entitled, A Report from the Lutheran World Federation Assembly. This is led by Diane Amber Armhurst and Assembly Delegates. Number DEL 2003-01. Let's listen in.
They bought there up to 3,000 seats for people, for worship. Our church was in the Soviet time became our church swimming pool. So I have here some picture. you can see what is our church. It is our church now. And so the second picture is the church before the revolution, 1917, before the revolution. The third picture is our church in the time of communists. So you can see the church became swimming pool. And so the fourth picture is our church today, after the reconstruction, and this reconstruction was possible, became possible after the time, or after the time of perestroika, you know, yeah? Mm-hmm. Our church was prohibited in the Soviet time, and after the time of perestroika, what became possible to have worship and to have all the activities in our church. And the last one, I have two jobs in worship, two jobs. First one, I'm historian, and my field is German history of the 16th century, especially manuscript, German manuscript, that we have in our archives in Russia. And I have a 50% job in the church, in the Lutheran church, and I'm working in the Lutheran church as women's secretary. I work for women. I take responsibility for the women's water prayer and for women's conferences, seminars, and sharing and coordination of women desk in our church. Our church is a very big church because our country is very big, from St. Petersburg in northwest up to far east up to Pacific. We have some congregation in far east in Vladivostok, in Khabarovsk. So in Middle Asia and in Caucasus region and in the Ukraine, White Russia and Georgia in the south. So very big church. And about some words about the World Federation, I was a member of the council of the Lutheran World Federation in the last 6 years, and I was member in the committee for world service. It means emergency help and refugee help for different people, for different countries, especially in Asia and Africa, but in Europe on Balkans. I had some very good and important experience. And I'm very sorry about my English. I speak more, we are speaking in our church German and Russian, because we are a church of German tradition in Russia.
Do you worship today in Russian or in German?
We have the both. Also, for example, in my congregation in St. Petersburg, it is St. Peter congregation. You can see it. Yeah, we have one German pastor from Germany, and we have worship services in German, but these worships are translated into Russian. But our song and most of preachers' prayers are in German, but most of sometimes we translate. I do a translated work in my church too. I translate into from Russian into German and from German into Russian too. Thank you. It was a bit long.
I'm Hermie Meyer. I'm from Kendrick, Idaho. I serve on the Global Mission Board of the ELCA, and I've had the opportunity and the privilege to be able to attend two Lutheran World Federation assemblies. In 1947, the Lutheran, and I'm going to give you just a brief overview of the Lutheran World Federation. In 1947, the Lutheran World Federation was formed, and the first assembly was held in Lund, Sweden. And the purpose as they were forming was reconciliation after the Second World War, the reconciliation of many of the churches in that part of Europe. And I think the number was around 26 churches that were first in the Lutheran World Federation. I had an opportunity to be able to attend the one in 1952, which was held in Hanover, Germany. My parents were in contact with a pastor who served on the Lutheran World Federation in order to place people who were displaced from Latvia and Germany. And so I had contact with Lutheran World Federation as a person, just as I was going to college. We had a Latvian family and a German family that were repatriated to our country. And they are still here in the US. As a student at Pacific Lutheran University, they were asking for people who would like to go to the Lutheran World Federation Assembly in Hanover. Because this was going to be the first time that they would try to encourage to have youth as delegates to the assembly. So we went as visitors, but it was on the floor to have in future assemblies to have youth. And from then on, there have been youth delegates as well as other. And at that time, I believe they said there were 3% were women in 1952, and now it's 50% women and 50% men. So it's
among the delegates.
And yes. Among the delegates. The delegates at, are dependent upon the number of churches that are present. And today there are 136 member churches around the world and in 76 different countries, which represents 61.7 million Lutherans out of 65.4 million Lutherans around the world. The major group of that is the Missouri Lutherans that don't belong to the Lutheran World Federation. And that 61.7 million represented by the 136 churches at the assembly held in Winnipeg, there were 133 churches present at, from 72 countries. The major reason that there were some countries and some churches missing was the fact that there were visas refused by the Canadian government, so that there were 38 delegates and 14 visitors who would have been sitting on the floor of the assembly who were not able to come to the assembly. They came from various countries such as India, which had the largest number, 27 people, which included both delegates and visitors, some from Madagascar, the Cameroons, Philippines, Liberia, and a number of other countries that were not able to get a visa to come in. The location of the Secretariat of Lutheran World Federation is in Geneva, Switzerland, and it's there because it has close cooperation with the World Council of Churches and other international secular organizations. So that's where the headquarters is in Geneva, Switzerland. The LWF acts on behalf of its member churches in areas of common interest, particularly in ecumenical and interfaith, as some have already mentioned, theology, humanitarian assistance, international affairs, human rights, communication, and mission and development work. And I think one of the highlights of my being able to attend both assemblies was the ability and to be able to sing together with Lutherans around the world. The assembly book, the hymn book, was in four languages as the whole assembly was translated into German, English, Spanish, and French, so that you could get earphones and be able to listen in one of those four languages, so that most everyone who was present there would have known one of those four languages, German, English, French, and Spanish. And I will never forget the song, Singing a Mighty Fortress Is Our God, at the 1952 assembly, which was to hear people singing in all their various languages. And then the opening of the assembly in Winnipeg was using the song Lobet den Herrn, which is Praise to the Lord Almighty in English. And to hear everybody singing in that language is, you know, make goosebumps run down your back. It was a tremendous experience. So that every hymn in this hymn book is translated into the four languages. Mm-hmm. So that, and I think that was one of the highlight of mine being able to attend the Lutheran World Federation Assembly meeting. I went as a volunteer. The Evangelical Church in Canada was the host of the assembly. Needed help with volunteering. So a number of us from America, the ELCA, helped in at that time. I think I need to reflect that there are the different areas of the church. They've already referred to the fact that there is a general secretary, there's a cabinet, and then there are 48 council members that come from all of a variety of the churches. And they come from seven different regions around the world. We are the North American region, and in our North American region represented by four churches. Then there is the Central West Europe, Central East Europe, get any of them. Nordic countries and the Central Eastern Europe, Latin America and Caribbean, Asia and Africa. So these are the regions that they go. Africa has 29 member churches with 11.9 million members. Asia has 46 member churches with 7 million members. In Europe, we have the Nordic countries with 6 member churches and 20.6 million members. We have that's a state church, so we have more members there. The Central Eastern Europe has 14 member churches, 1.7 million members. Central Western Europe has 22 member churches and 14.3 million members. Latin America and Caribbean has 15 member churches, 850,000 members, and North America has 4 member churches with 5.3 million members. So this, of these 7 regions, there were 358 delegates present, 38 missing, so there could have been 392 delegates. And then the visitors who were sitting on the floor of the assembly plus the delegates were over 700. This sort of gives you an overview of the Lutheran World Assembly.
Thank you.
And we have two other people who are volunteers there. When we get around to questions, we have to, we can tell from the t-shirt.
We all live together, so I'll wear it next time.
Yes, there were over 500 volunteers who came from a variety of places, both all of Canada as well as the U.S. And then there were the volunteers, the stewards, who were young people who were come from other countries. I volunteered in at the photo shop, and there were three young stewards, one from Netherlands, one from Estonia, and one from Germany. They were also volunteers.
There was a large Anglican presence. Our opening was in an Anglican cathedral. All of the morning prayer, evening prayer sessions were in the local Anglican churches. Our hosts were Anglican.
And then also in the Catholic Church, St. Mary's.
Catholic Church, right.
So that there was a lot of cooperation between the Anglican, the Catholic, and the Lutheran churches. Mm-hmm. One reason was that the Lutheran Church is really relatively small in Canada, and so they utilized the other two groups.
You see this call to common mission business is, you can see it in action. It's exciting.
The LWF gets together in assembly every 6 years. Yes. Kind of, only in 1952 and 2000.
Actually, there are a couple, you can say from 5 to 7 years, because there were a couple times when it was 5 years and then some seven. So between 5 and 7, so this was the 10th assembly.
Since 1947. And Krista will tell us more about the assembly itself and why LWF member churches meet. And you know that this is a keynote speaker, so you have quite a lot to tell us, I think.
Okay, thank you. The Lutheran World Federation, as you know, is a communion of churches. Then as already told us how many members we have, you know. So we are a communion of churches, that we are all one body in Christ. So maybe the reason why we gather in this assembly, there are constitutional reasons, but the most important reason is the deeper theological reasons that we gather at the assembly after every, okay, initially it was 5 years maybe, but now it's after every 7 years, since the seventh year we gather. So we gather because an assembly is, you know, we are the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit is by nature an assembly. So we come together to worship, witness, and to discuss issues of which are common to the whole church. And in that assembly, it's where the constitutional matters now come. It's where we elect the president of our federation and the council of members. So like now, at this time at the assembly, the assembly in Winnipeg, we elected the new president, and Bishop Mark Hanson from the ELCA is now our new president. Mm-hmm. I should be very happy. Yeah, okay, there were two names. Now, the process is that at the assembly, we have a nomination committee. That nomination committee have some members of the council where they sit and names come, they get the names. So some of the names might come from the floor. Like this time, one name came from the floor. This was Susan from
From the Evangelical Lutheran Church in
Canada. So they were two competing, Bishop Mark Hanson and Susan Henry. Bishop Mark Hanson won. He's now president. He has taken over from Bishop Klaus from Delman. So at this assembly, apart from the election list of the president and the council members, we also discuss matters of common interest, the business session. We have the
a theme of the assembly has to be discussed in detail. We have groups, village groups. This assembly had 10 different village groups, and each group has a topic to discuss on, but that topic is from the theme for the healing of the world. So we went into discussions in these groups almost every day. We had about, from the 10 days in Winnipeg, so 6 days, 6 or 7 days, we are discussing the theme of the assembly. And each morning, we get a Bible study presentation from each region. And at this presentation, we had several cries. Now, it's the healing of the world, or the healing of the world. So there are several cries. We have different wounds from different countries. So we shared our experiences, and these cries, we were just praying and ask our body to heal our wounds. So we listened to different cries. Maybe I mentioned some, all. The first day, the cry was, "Oh God, the healer, the liberator, savior of the world." And the second day, it was, "Forgive and heal." That was a cry. Third day, it was reorder power. Mm-hmm. And fourth, it was heal our division. The fifth, it was heal the land. Then liberate from bondage. Seventh was rectify injustices. This was from my continent, my Africa. Eighth was empower us to act. Then the last was fulfill your promise of God. So these were the cries presented each morning in the plenary. But from the groups, we had, there are 10 groups. The 10 groups. The first one was God's healing gift of justification. Mm-hmm. And the second was God's healing gift of communion. Third, healing division within the one church. And the fourth was mission of the church in a multi-faith context. Fifth, removing barriers that exclude. The sixth was the church's minister of healing. I was in this group. Seventh for justice and healing in families. The eighth for overcoming violence. Ninth, transforming economic globalization. The last was healing creation. So it's good that we are in different groups. So each one of us will tell something about the group one was in. So myself, I was in the group, the sixth group, that is the church's ministry of healing. So the theme of the assembly for the healing of the world is just a continuation of the themes which have been in the 9 assemblies. Hemi knows a bit about this, you know. So these assemblies have been in different continents. So the first one, which was held in 1947, this was Sweden.
And the Lutheran Church in the world today.
That was it. So, and the second assembly was in 1952, and this was held in Hanover, Delman. So the theme was Living World in Responsible Church. This was a response in engagement with society. It was emphasized in order to rectify previous Lutheran quietism on political questions. The third was called Minneapolis.
Christ frees and unites.
Okay, so you have them. So the fourth was 1963 in Helsinki, Finland, that the theme was Christ today. So this was in view of the new dawning of ecumenism with the Vatican. On the Federation for Interconfessional Research, which was established. So the sixth was in Tanzania. That was 19. The fifth one was in
France.
It was in
Finland.
It was in Finland. That was 1970.
1963 in Finland, 1970 in France.
Yeah,
and 1977 in Tanzania.
In Tanzania, yeah. Then 1919 in Curitiba, Brazil. And the last bad one was in Hong Kong, China. That was in Christ called to witness. So now it's apparent that the themes is a continuity with the which groups have the themes of the previous assemblies. So in my group, the Church's Ministry of Healing, we shared experiences from different countries, from different churches. So these groups were arranged in such a way that each group at least has a person from a different person from different regions, so that we could share our experiences. Now the Church's Ministry of Healing, we started with a point for a reflection on the Church's Ministry of Healing, that it is God, is glorious. God is the one who heals. Our medical doctors, they do the cure, but the actual healing comes from God himself. So we human beings, we do one part of curing, but we cannot promise the healing. So the healing is from God himself. So through our discussions, we said that the world we live in is broken as a result of sin. So people are victims of injustice and the abuse of power. And healing points towards restoration of broken relations. So, and just the ways of living are being called forth as a sign of the kingdom and God's unmerited grace. As we went on discussions, we had one physician. She was a bit furious. She said, no, you can't talk that well. We draw medical doctors, we don't heal, we don't longer. But at last, through the discussion, she was convinced that the medical doctors, they are part and parcel of the healing. But of course, through the Holy Spirit, they can do their business of conducting the cure, diagnosis, and whatever. But at last, the cure comes from God through the Holy Spirit. So to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal is found in Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. So the ministry of healing, which belongs to the whole church, is to continue Jesus' ministry of healing, building and edifying a new community. So we as a church, we have to go out. You don't have to remain in the church itself. We have to go out and proclaim the gospel. So we gave different examples. Like my country, apart from the normal service on Sundays, in the evenings we have what we call fellowships, where people can worship, they can do what they can, sing praise, sing, shout, and give their cries to the Lord. And we pray for the sick. We pray for the people in need, we lay hands on them, and people get healed. not, you know, some people will expect to get physical healing immediately, but the healing is not only physical. It's, there is physical healing, there is spiritual healing, which is the most important thing. There is a psychological healing, you know. You might be in a depression, but when this comes to you and do the counseling and tell you the, about the gospel, you get healed. You get healed. So, actually, the healing that you cannot promise the physical healing only. You can be restored to be in a situation where you can go on living. Okay? You might maybe physically, maybe one of your legs can go, it can be cut from you, but really spiritually, you are healed. And you can still in the society, you can go on with the normal steps and whatever you do. So the most important thing, the ministry of Aaron of Church, is the spiritual healing. But we do also get the physical healing. I'm sure in your churches also, you do such things, where you meet, where you lay hands on people, you pray for them, and they get healed. You can assist them in one way or the other. People have several different names. So we have different wounds, we have different cries, but the church has go out. Other places where people do not get even to hear the gospel, the word of God. Places like prisons, in mines, in hostels, and such other places. So we have to go out and preach the gospel. And this has not to be done by all ordained people only. Even lay people can have different talents. They can do this. They can give this service also. They can do the healing service and whatever. So we have to give them chance to do that. I think I've talked a lot, fabulous.
Fun job. And tomorrow we're also in the village group. Just to clarify, the village groups met every day, is that right?
Yes.
And this was separate, there was a business session, but then the village groups met to lift up every day, and then you did Bible study together, right?
Yes, Bible
around
study the and cry.
And a cry. And just to clarify what a cry is. It's how, I kind of understand it, but what the
cry, it was, they were involved in the Bible study. For example, I took part in Christ too. It was, the, I think, the eighth day of the assembly. God empowered us to act. And the Bible study on this day was prepared by the people from Europe, from Nordic country and from by some people from Eastern Europe, and my task was to cry about the victims of violence, about especially about victims of trafficking in women, because you know it is a big problem in Eastern Europe. Very many women, especially young women, they are suffering under this trafficking in them. It was my cry about it. Mm-hmm. And it is one of my issues as a women's secretary in my church. And we have some program in our church to support women victim of trafficking in women or victim of violence.
Do you want to go ahead and tell us about your village group and then Banjab, thank you for your patience. Everyone has so much to say. So tell us about your what your village group was about and how healing was lifted up in it.
And my village group was healing divisions within the one church. Mm-hmm. It is very important. Very important task, very important issue for our church in Eastern Europe, because a very long time our churches were suffering in the time of communism, and now they had a new beginning in church life, and it is not so easy to do the new beginning, because they have, as churches in Eastern Europe, many influence from different churches from abroad. Churches, we have a big, very many people from Germany who help us, and but we have in our country a big influence of the Church of Missouri Synod. You know, it is very conservative church, and this influence of Missouri Synod Church led to some divisions and splits in our church. It is our problem. We could be do something together, not against. It was a task for our churches in our village group.
From the were people from the other nations also?
Yes.
Divisions in
their churches? Mostly divisions in the Lutheran churches, but divisions between the churches of different denominations. For example, between Orthodox Church and Lutheran Church. It was also the problem in my country, because you know our church is a minority church, and the majority church in Russia is the Orthodox Church, and in some cities or region of my country, there gives problem between these churches. It was a specialty in my region.
The village that you live in, your experience.
I was in God's healing gift of communion. A lot of things has going on and talk and listen to a lot of cry. And one thing that flesh that stuck me, that is communion in diversity. And in our group, we say that we have to learn to appreciate the differences in our ministry, church ministry, or the other ministry. And they also mentioned about the situation in our group and how to invite them or talk to them or appreciate. You have heard, like that you may know. Yeah. Even in my own church, we are still in the process of discussing up to men ordination. Mm-hmm. But we have no problem. We appreciate what idea that can build the church up. But one thing that I would like to apply to our situation in my country, there are, at the moment, there are more than 150 overseas mission organization in our country. That confuses our people.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And but we are welcome all to our country, because as you know, our country is 95% is Buddhist. Mm-hmm. Christians less than 1%. But a lot of missionaries who went to our country, they may just like use our country like springboard to jump to China, to Laos, or to Myanmar, like that. But just as our church, Lutheran Church in Thailand, happened by accident. And Lutheran Church from Norway went to our country. They want to go to Laos, but the situation over there didn't allow them to get in. And then I think God's spirit rode in there and started the church over there. What I have learned from our group, that is, learn to accept the diversity. That hits my heart, and I want to bring this back to our people, to our church, how to reflect it and talk it and implement it in our society. I think this is the meaningful for me, what I would like to share, and I hope that you May I give it me and remember our church, our situation in your prayer. Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little bit about the keynote speakers who addressed the assembly? And comment as well, other speakers, please.
Oh, you talk about the for the healing of the world. This topic, this theme, I think it is appropriate theme, and it is an eternal theme. In that, we have had we see the heart of God, the suffering God, since the beginning until now, and I believe that as far as human beings are here on earth, this cry, this healing need to be done all the way, and all Christians should do it together. The first keynote speakers from Bishop Marcos from Germany. She started her speech by quote the word of Jesus, said that, my God, why have you forsaken me? And allow me to read the first and second paragraph of her speech. We see the wounds of children induced in the wars on our planet. We see the hurts of the hungry people suffering injustice. We see the wounding of women who are victims of rape. We see the wounds of the homeless people living in the streets. We see the wounds of tormented creation longing for redemption. We hear the cry of Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the second paragraph, our world has wounds and cries out. Even God is vulnerable and cries. God has exposed his divine self to wounds. She challenged the assembly to see the suffering world, which with an open eye, open ear, with the eyes of God's love. If we want to engage in the process of healing of the suffering world, she also quoted from Isaiah. He said that by his wound we are healed. She also emphasized on the Holy Communion of the Lord's Supper as the sacrament of healing. And she mentioned that the Lord's Supper involves human social challenge. The Lord's Supper involves us in speaking of peace and justice. The Lord's Supper challenges us to ecumenical commitment. The Lord's Supper encourages us to till and keep the earth for the next generations and something like that. And I would like to jump to the response of Bishop Kikasung from Papua New Guinea. He pressed the Bishop Margot, and he drew the assembly back to Genesis and said that God created everything good. He even created human in his image. Human disobedience did not destroy God's love. God's love continues in the process of healing. At the Garden of Eden, God came and talked to Adam and Eve. He asked Adam, where are you? And after discussion with them, we see God's promise of healing. And he go on to say that he brought the assembly back to the question that God questioned Cain. He emphasized that if we want to engage in hearing, these questions must be asked. Where is your brother? What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the cloud. He also referred to the New Testament as a witness to the fulfillment of God's promise of healing. And we go to John 3:16, I think all of you know, and also Matthew 11:28. And he also mentioned that Christians are challenged to live out our faith in this world that is full of Christ coming from our induced children, hungry people, victims of rape, domestic violence, homeless people, lonely individuals, creation being tormented, and many. Many of these wounds and cries of the wounds of the world are created by Christians and Christian countries. To be engaged in the healing of the suffering world, Christians need to hear the word of the Lord. We as a Christian need to be challenged to be faithful to the word in that faithfulness to the word. Christians are challenged to maintain the true fellowship with God, with our neighbor and nature.
Comments or questions from anybody? The Johnsons who were there, or I'm just opened up for discussion. Did you want to talk about your experience?
Well, I participated in the choir, and we had a morning Eucharist every day, and then there was prayer before the noon meal and a small worship service at that time, and also before the evening meal, and four healing services at night. And I participated in most of them. But we had one joint, a big celebration on a Sunday afternoon at a park called the Forks. And there were many people there from the community as well. And the choir sang, but they had a very impressive, the young people put on skits as parts of these cries for healing. And that one was about globalization. And it was very vividly portrayed. We saw the young people come out dancing and with the water. They had water, air, there were four things. Lead, water, air, earth, and fire. And how greed each time would take over and pollute the water or the air. And they did this through dance and different things. It was a very powerful witness of how greed can't take over and spoil God's beautiful creation. So it was a very exciting time.
I didn't go to the assembly, but I read a lot about the LBF this last year, getting ready for all these events. And I guess what struck me in understanding the value of the Lutheran World Federation was how it enables people like us to hear voices from parts of the world that we don't always hear from, or we don't always hear from in the faith context. I mean, we may hear voices, but we get them from the media. So I wonder if you want to say something about, you know, what it was like to be in your village groups where you were hearing voices from regions that were very different from yours. I don't know, sometimes maybe you come to the same conclusion or not, but just that to me seemed like a very exciting aspect of the LBF. Whatever you want to comment.
At the end, we came to the conclusion after hearing cries from different parts and sharing our experiences. Then we came to the conclusion and we made our commitments. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is that we are now coming to the little community that we have also to engage ourselves with other churches apart from the Lutheran Church. Actually, this was reflected in Winnipeg. As you are part, our first the opening Eucharist was done in St. Boniface, that is a Catholic church. And even the cardinal from Canada was around. He participated in the oral service. So every morning the Eucharist was conducted in the Catholic Church, St. Mary's. So that's opposite the convention center where we had our plenary. And the healing service was conducted in an Anglican church. And all these bishops and pastors from different churches were there. They participated fully. And not only these two churches, but also from Mennonite, from the Seventh-day Adventist. As you are aware, the Seventh-day Adventist, those people, they are not very easily, they don't, how do I put it? They are so conservative. But this time, there are discussions going on with these churches. I hope there is a day we are going to be one as Christians. This is very important. Maybe we have to pray for this. But the way I saw it in Winnipeg, really there is a day we are going to be one church who belong to Christ. If this day is going to come, maybe we have to pray very hard for this. It's a really communion. So this was a very big challenge to us. And that even if we pray, when we are praying our healing services, we don't have to exclude these people. We have to invite even people from other faiths. Like Muslims in my country, when we conduct these crusades, even Muslims come. And sometimes there is a day, this was an example given, there is a day when we made a crusade and the evangelist called for people who had problems. Maybe your business was not going on well, and maybe you had not got a promotion at your workplace for so long, to come and pray for you. So one Muslim who was a taxi driver, his business was not going on well. So after that day, hands was laid on him and they prayed for him. When he went back, his business started growing, it went on well. So he told his fellow, his friends were asking him, what happened now, your business now going on well? He said, there is only one person, one man, this who has cured my business, and this is Jesus. So everybody was amazed. Jesus, what are you talking about? If you are a Muslim, if you are talking about Muhammad, who could have understood you? He said, no, now I'm not going back to Muhammad. I'm going to Jesus. Yeah. So when we proclaim the gospel, it's not that we have to exclude other people, the faith. People, so we are living in the mad faith context. We have to invite them, and if you preach to them and give them the correct version, they'll come to Jesus. So maybe we have to pray hard that one day we are going to be one.
Any last comments about the significance of the assembly to you, or the voices that you heard?
If I were God, I'm very tired because of each member churches have its own demand and have its own try out. But we thank God that he will not try to enable us to help each other. That is what is significant for me.
I think it's very important and good experience for us, all the member churches. But it was so, we are so different. We are 136 churches members in this community, the Lutheran World Federation. And we have noted how different we are in this assembly. And we have some discussion. We had some discussion there where really hard and really difficult for us. And some problem, for example, homosexuality, gay and lesbians, they made some divisions more between the churches. For example, the Nordic churches in West European churches, they accepted homosexuality and lesbian, and they tried to pray for these people. And some Eastern European church and some churches from Asia and Africa, they denied it. And after this prayer, there were some churches, they wouldn't go to the Eucharist together with this prayer. You know, it was very, very difficult, mm-hmm. but we can see how different we are, how different influences and different backgrounds, first of all, backgrounds in our country we have. It was an important experience for me, I think. We have a lot to do together, to discuss some problems. And to try to understand each other. It was important.
Thursday, we're going to have another session at this time, and we thought we would move more into the issues that were raised on the floor, like ordination of gays and lesbians, some other, the name change of the LWF, maybe a little more about the significance of Mark Hansen's election. So we wanted to talk today about overall experience and the healing theme. So on Thursday, we'll talk more about the work of the LWF as a whole, and Hermie and Diane Armbrust will talk a lot about relationships between the ELCA and the LWF, particularly around World Hunger projects. LWF projects that are funded by our own World Hunger Appeal and some of the other business on the floor. And I just decided that for our Thursday night session on missionaries, we'll have to talk about evangelism in a multi-faith context. We'll add that now to our agenda. obviously, that's an obvious one. We didn't work together. I wanted to say two more things before we wrap up and thank everybody. This study book actually is pretty illuminating, and it's available in the bookstore. It gives you a nice summary of the LWF, all of the assemblies. If you're interested in the ELCIC, there's a great deal of material in the Lutheran Church in the Canadian context. And then there, the Bible studies for each day are there, with, and then the village group material. An interesting aspect is the Holden connection here. Three of the authors of this book have strong Holden connections. One is Norm Hobble, who was here last year, nearly for the whole summer. Barbara Rossing, who's from the LSTC, and Cynthia Molavita, who often is here talking about Christian ethics. All three of them were writers who contributed to the background material for the assembly. So this is available. If you're really interested, it's also available as a PDF. That's www.lutheranworld.org. But it takes forever to download.
But Lutheranworld.org has a lot of material inside. You can download all the addresses if you wish. It also has all of the photos that were taken. So this one that you mentioned, the village, the fire, and then mm-hmm. they've got some really nice pictures of that. So you can download those really easy if you wish.
And we'll be taking pictures and posting these pictures also, because the reason that our guests are here at Holden is that an important part of each assembly is the visitation program that comes with it, that the host church puts on. So this year, the Canadian ELCIC and ELCA worked together, and the Canadians hosted some of the delegates before the assembly started mm-hmm. in 6 to 7 day visits to missions, ministries in Canada. And then the ELCA is handling the post-assembly visitation program, which, you know, 36 different synods volunteered to host international guests. And our criteria was, you know, can't just take them to Disney World. We got to look at the ministries. So 36 synods stepped forward and really put a lot of thought into what ministries they would show in their synod and how they would involve local people, so that all of us in the ELC, not all of us, but many of us can benefit from experiences like these. But the number of delegates who actually came to the U.S. has turned out to be very small, in part because of the visa problems getting into Canada excluded some. Not everybody who came to Canada then got an American visa to come here. And so for many delegates, it was easier to participate in the beginning, in the pre-visitation, pre-assembly visitation program, because only one visa was required. So I think we're down now to about 13 or 14 sites around the country, because some were canceled the last minute when we got word that, you know, people just weren't coming. So we are part of we here at Holden are part of a program that's happening across the ELCA. This program is sponsored by the Holden Village and the Western Washington Synod and the Eastern Washington Idaho Synod, Hermes Synod, and the Global Mission Committee helped organize this.
I was wondering, where in the world is the Lutheran World Federation going to be next, and what chance does the North American continent have, given the visa problem, of having such a thing here again.
Oh, it'll be a few years.
It'll be in the 6 year, but they won't know until about, usually they start planning it about 4 years, and the Congress, the group, the 48 people,
the
council, and the cabinet, and all of this, they start working on this about 4 years prior to the, so I don't believe a time or date has been set. Or a place.
But it won't be a North Americanized time because it'll be in the Sorority.
Yeah. I didn't know there was the time that it was in Evian. It was to have been in Porto Alegre, Brazil, I believe. And because of the political situation there, it was moved up to France.
And that oftentimes happens.
Yeah.
Council meetings move, because I know the council was supposed to meet in Jerusalem, wasn't it? And then
they had to change.
They had to have changed because, that would be an interesting discussion. How does the council meet? How often? But we'll get into that on Thursday. So we'll, okay.
Is there some time that you could either write on the board or put it someplace, the names of our guests, because I don't hear and spell exactly right?
We can do that. You know, there was a picture taken and we wrote up biographies, but they haven't been posted yet. They're supposed to be up on the kiosk. Spellings, but I'll go in and see what happened to them.
Okay, I would appreciate that. And if even the addresses for them, it would be very nice.
Okay. Sure.
And if anybody's interested in looking at this book, you just see me and I'll pass it around.
So thank you everyone for coming and welcome to this conversation.
Just search LWF.